is storming. You see that genuine enthusiasm by Eric Meeker with 29 points and 11 rebounds.
Emery at the line. Gonzaga trailing with 4 seconds to go. Their undefeated season slipping away.
Historic season right now. Regular season.
4 seconds to play. Perkins over the timeline. Emery steals it. And Goliath goes down. BYU wins it.
Only God, the current University of Connecticut Lady Huskies, the 1972 Miami Dolphins, and a handful of pre-1977 men's college basketball teams are perfect. And as you just heard, courtesy of the sports leader, the 2017 Gonzaga Bulldogs are not. Well, good morning. It's Sunday. It's a few minutes after 8 o'clock, and this is Out of Line, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Studios in Las Vegas. I am Brian Feldman, and we are here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 on Fox Sports 1340, and we are streaming live at lvsportsnetwork.com. Standing directly in front of me and pushing all the right buttons is the host of the newest podcast on the Nevada Sports Network called Real Football.
No.
Not called Real Football?
The other football.
The other football. Okay, same thing. I thought real football because it's the original football.
Well, it is real football.
Right, okay. For you and a lot of big-time soccer fans, but also the future Hall of Fame producer and broadcaster who you just heard, Magnum. You can follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM. And next time you're on Facebook, check out the page, which is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. We always appreciate likes and R-rated posts. Listener participation is what sports radio is all about. So if you feel like, and maybe even compelled to call in, we'd love to hear from you. The Fox Sports Studio line is 702-876-1340. And it is time. There it is.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
It is time for What's on Tap, pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. Yesterday night, the Gonzaga Bulldogs screwed up my show's itinerary by losing to BYU. So we will start off talking about that. Gonzaga and Villanova both losing this week opens the door for things to change at the top of the polls. And has the NBA ever been more boring and predictable? We'll give you our thoughts. The UNLV men's basketball team is breaking records. And unless you just landed in Las Vegas from Siberia, you know that the Running Rebels want no part of the records I'm talking about. Also, stick around for Blazin' and Fact This on tap at Bubby's University. Earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Bubba's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. I need one of you to convince me why I should believe in this year's edition of the undefeated Gonzaga Bulldogs. I think five teams before them in the past 35 years have started 28-0. How many of those, Em, I'm sure you know, how many of them have won a national title?
Probably none.
Not a single damn one of them have. And I would say the five other than Gonzaga were all better teams than the Gonzaga Bulldogs are this year. Yeah, no doubt about that. That was last week during our show here. And I was trying, I didn't want to say it, but the bottom line is I didn't think Gonzaga was for real. Now, some of you might argue and say, hey, BYU has their number. You know, Gonzaga's lost six times at home in the last 4 years, three of them to Brigham Young. As a matter of fact, three straight in Spokane. I don't know how they've got their number and nobody else does. But Brigham Young, not a slouch. And as you heard, and you'll hear a little bit more about this guy later on, Eric Meeker, man, holy crap, was this guy out of his mind last night. I mean, a one-man wrecking crew, a sophomore. I don't know how old he is. He's probably a 35-year-old sophomore. He was on a mission in France, I heard. But I think this kid's got a future in the NBA. 6'10" and great stats. And again, we'll talk about him a little bit. But man, you know, you know, Mags, you have that night where I'm planning everything. I do the Rebel Extra show. I've got all these plans on what I want to talk about. And I get home and I decide, you know what? I'm going to sit down. I'm talking about Gonzaga. They're the number one ranked team in the country, at least as far as the AP poll goes. And I thought, you know, I'll mention him a little bit, but the key is I got to watch this game. I haven't seen him play this year yet. I really haven't. And to talk about a team that's number one ranked in the country and I haven't watched. Now, I've seen highlights of them play. I definitely know their best players, but I haven't sat and watched a full game. So I thought, you know what, it's the final game of the season, senior night at, you know, in Spokane. They're probably going to blow out BYU, but I'll watch the game just to give it a little look-see. And the look-see turned out to be the entire game. It was absolutely thrilling down the stretch. I mean, 5 minutes into the game, a little more than 5 minutes into the game, Gonzaga had a 16-point lead. And somehow it got whittled away. And at the end of the game, for like the last 3.5 minutes, Gonzaga didn't score. And Brigham Young played tremendous ball. They've got good range outside shooting. But Eric Mika really, down the stretch, a huge block late in the game. Great working the glass by both these teams. And they took opportune shots, and they made them, and they won this game. And is this something I want to know from Gonzaga fans? And, hey, like I said, call in any time that you feel like it's 702-876-1340. But I want to know, was this a fluke, just that Brigham Young just has their number in Spokane, or is Gonzaga a house of cards?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, BYU obviously has their number. Dave Rose, the coach of BYU, he's figured out how to beat Mark Few. I'm not sure that, you know, with BYU, and I was fortunate enough to see them play twice here in Las Vegas before Thanksgiving. They basically picked apart, I believe it was Alabama, and then they took out they were beaten by Valparaiso. But, I believe they played St. Louis University, and then Valparaiso beat Alabama. But they're a team where when their outside shots are going in, they're always in games because they always have guys who can hit threes like T.J. Hawes. Emery is a fantastic point guard. He's a great leader. A little emotional, both of those guys. They wear it on their sleeves, and they get rattled a little easily. But when those guys are on, BYU is a very good team. They have another big, I'm blanking on his name, who's also pretty solid. Dave Rose, he doesn't seem to have to rebuild. He just reloads every year. And I guess when you're at BYU and you basically have a pipeline of kids who are constantly coming in. I mean, Hawes, his brother played at BYU. Emery, his brother played at BYU. There's some Hartsock kids who've all played at BYU, all been pretty good players for the Cougars. So they have a pipeline of kids that are coming in, year out. They're able to and I've heard mixed things on the mission thing. I don't know for sure.
Mags, that's what I was going to say. These kids, a lot of them, you see it in football and in basketball, they're more developed than the teams they're playing against. When you go on a 2 or 3 year mission and you come back and you're a 22-year-old freshman, you got a little bit of advantage because there is no question that the human body does a great deal of growing between the ages of 18 and 22 years of age. The final growing, when you really add everything. So an 18-year-old freshman and a 22-year-old freshman are two completely different body configurations. And the bottom line is, Eric Mika, I'm watching him. I keep hearing him say sophomore. And then it was around the end of the game when they said, yeah, he just came back from a mission in France. Well, looking at the kid, it was probably a 5-year mission. I mean, I'm joking, obviously. It's probably a 2-year mission. But either way, that really puts him ahead of the game. And he does not play like a sophomore. That's for damn sure.
Well, it doesn't, because while these kids are on the mission, they can't really practice basketball. I'm not Mormon. I'm not trying to sound like I'm defending BYU in any way, but I think that there's a misconception about what these kids actually do while they're on their mission. You know, they are married to the church for those 2 years that they're on their mission. They can't eat the way that they do when they're on campus and part of the program. They are daily, every single day out there recruiting people to join the Church of Latter-day Saints. I think there's a big misconception. I mean, Eric Mika isn't picking up a basketball and practicing. Dave Rose isn't faxing him plays to practice on or what to practice on during this time that these guys are on the mission.
Know, Max, I
understand the development standpoint, but these kids still lose. Not every kid who goes away on a mission comes back and is what he was before he left.
I know that, but I still think, believe me, there is no way there is not basketball education of some sort going on these missions. He's got two basketball with him. He's probably spinning one and dribbling while he's laying in his bed at night. And you know what? I'll bet part of the mission when they're recruiting these people to join the what church is it? Latter-day Saints, did you say?
Yeah, the Mormon Church, LDS.
So, okay, yeah. LDS, yeah. When they're recruiting me, I'll bet they have pickup basketball games and little showcases out there because they see this 6'10" Goliath and they know, wow, he's some kind of an American athlete. And I'm sure he puts on exhibitions, which does create people to come around, to listen. And I'll bet it probably does something for them, but there's just no way they're not staying in shape. They might be eating differently, Mags, which is probably good for them. And they're doing stuff to stay in shape, be it push-ups, be it running. He does not come back. None of these guys come back winded and out of shape. If you're getting paid a scholarship to the university, believe me, they're getting their money's worth out of you while you're out on these missions. I believe that wholeheartedly. I'm not saying that they're not out campaigning and doing what they're supposed to do, but I'm saying everyone has downtime. They're not working every waking hour. I'll bet every single day something goes on in their lives that require basketball, football, or whatever sport they're in. That's just a guess, but come on, man. There's no way they're not doing anything.
Well, I can say that I have played pickup basketball at some of the Mormon churches. When I lived up in Idaho, I played up there. When I lived in Colorado Springs, I actually would go pretty frequently to go play church ball. And it's super, super competitive.
I can imagine.
And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there were kids who were on their missions in there playing with us. I never really asked. I didn't really care. I just wanted to play. But I think it's one of those things that unless you are part of BYU and one of these kids on a mission, I don't know if we'll ever truly know what exactly they do while they're on these missions in their downtime. But I think there's a negative that comes away from it too. I mean, it's 2 years that you're away from the competitive sport. You know,
sure. There's no doubt you're not getting the edge that you would get playing in a Division I college basketball game, but you can simulate things in your mind. And when you're a D1 athlete, and especially to the likes of a guy like Eric Mika, believe me, there are things and drills you can probably do without even a basketball, without any weights, that are going to keep you in shape and keep you mentally sound. I believe that.
Well, and here's the other thing. Every school out there has the ability to also recruit these kids. So University of Utah gets kids who go away on missions, Utah State, Weber State, they all do. UNLV, they recruited Dantley Walker, who I believe was an LDS kid. He was a scholarship player. Lon Kruger recruited him from, I think it was from Lincoln, Nevada, way a little up north. But, you know, he also had the opportunity to go away on a mission. So it's not exclusive to BYU. Every college has the ability.
Legs, can I interrupt you? I just want to say maybe UNLV needs to start sending some kids on missions.
I think so.
Because I don't have any answers. I hope Mark Anderson, who will be here in a little bit, joining us, I should say via telephone, will have some answers. I mean, I know he doesn't. I think the coaches, and he alluded to this last night, you know, hosting the show Rebel Extra over on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM last night. Mark Anderson alluded to the fact that, you know, really breaking it down and not being super politically correct, he said what we wanted to hear, that and we already knew this. The coaches kind of ran out of answers, Mags, and you can see it the way they play. There is just no answers. And I can't say this on Rebel Extra, but I'm going to say it here on Out of Line. The basketball IQ is what is killing this basketball team, because there is no doubt watching it. And I want to wait for Mark in a little bit, but watching it, seeing guys like Mooring. I saw a play by Mooring yesterday afternoon in the first half. He could have stepped back and taken the three, and 9 times out of 10 he would. But he recognized a rolling Christian Jones under the basket. He fed him the basketball, and Jones made a nice move to the hoop and laid it in. It was recognition. It was a D1 college, not only a D1 play, it was a superb D1 play. And that showed me that Jovan Mooring has the goods to play at this level, but he keeps making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And I don't think, like I said, I believe he has the talent to play at this level. So then it comes down to the 6 inches between his ears. And is that fixable? I honestly don't know. I don't know if it's fixable because I know that Menzies has said every press conference, he tells these guys over and over, he runs plays, he tells them what to do, not to run and chuck, and they still do it. So maybe it's not a case of bad basketball IQ. Maybe it's not a case of, maybe they have an excessive wax buildup in their ears and they're bad lip readers. They can't hear what he's saying or read his lips, because I don't have any more excuses on how, when a coach says, here's what you do, run this play, and whatever you do, don't do this. And according to Menzies, they keep doing this. I don't get it.
Well, I think part of the problem, and I mentioned it earlier in the week, and Menzies kind of touched on it a little bit yesterday, a lot of these kids don't quite understand what it means to put on that UNLV uniform. You know, they don't have the pride in the university and in the school. And to me, it doesn't seem like a lot of them don't really have pride in the fact that they're getting their ass kicked week in and game in and game out. They just seem to sulk, and you know, at this point in the season, I'd like to see some guys who haven't played. Larry Bush, I want to see him get it. I want to see Slavanovich get some action. You know what? Because those kids have earned it. They've been there all season. A lot of them, he only played 7 guys the other night, or 8 guys, and they still lost.
He played everyone he had on his bench. He only had 9 players available last night, Mags. He played all of them. But I'll tell you this. What you're saying is something that a lot of UNLV fans calling into Rebel Extra are thinking as well. Here's what my take on it was. It's not that they don't have the pride because I believe it was Robert Smith and John Sandler after the game were talking about, you know, Menzies needs to explain to these guys about the letters on their jersey, on their uniforms, and the brand that that's associated with. And I don't think it's a matter of not understanding the brand. I think when Menzies recruited them, he pointed out the fact UNLV won a national championship in 1990, that they've been to 4 Final Fours. I'm sure that was all pointed out, that this is a brand. Tarkanian Court, one of the greatest coaches ever, coacher.
The fireworks, all that good
all
stuff.
All that was said. Here's what it is. It's not that they don't care about the brand. They can't do anything about it. It is a matter of a lack of talent. It's that simple now. They are who we see who they are. They don't have the talent. They won a couple of games. Their best game by far, as Bernie said, was that Wyoming game. New Mexico was right for the picking when they went down to the pit and won that game. New Mexico wasn't right, and then the Air Force game was kind of a fluke, man. A huge couple of bombs by Jovan Mooring. You hit him or you miss him. And those are their 3 wins in the Mountain West Conference this year. So I just don't think it's a matter of talent. And again, people are saying, well, this team looks like they quit. They looks like they've given up. I don't believe that either. You can't judge or see the heart of a man. What I believe is that they don't believe they can win. It's not that they've given up. They get back into a game. They get on a 10-point run. You know, they're down 12, and next thing you know, they get back in the game. They're like, oh my God, we're back in the game. And then the other team goes back on a 10 or 11-point run again. It's what keeps happening to them.
But when you stop believing that you could win, isn't that basically giving up?
No, because you're still trying.
There's a difference between trying.
But there's a difference between giving up and not believing you can win as well. You just, you know, Mags, put it this way. There is not an NBA team right now that if you can do a lie detector test on these guys' heads that believes they can beat Golden State or Cleveland, or that they will beat them. They're going to go out and try. They're never going to give up. But the bottom line is their job right now, you're competing in the NBA. If you are not the Golden State Warriors or the Cleveland Cavaliers, you are competing for second place in your conference, and a few teams have an opportunity for that. Listen, we got to take a break. Out of line. We'll be back. We'll talk a little bit more about the NBA. I do want to get into the NCAA tournament because, as I said, with Gonzaga losing yesterday, Villanova lost a game this week. Kansas won a couple. Does Kansas leapfrog those two and go to number one? We'll talk about that on Out of Line, Fox Sports 1340.
Well, obviously didn't go as we had hoped, and gosh, we might have to change how we do these senior nights. I don't know. We haven't been very good on them, but BYU deserves a lot of credit, man. They played us tough, played us physical. made some big shots and some big plays down the stretch, and we left a lot hanging out there. We missed a lot of free throws and turned the ball over too much to be able to win a close game like that.
79-71. BYU slays the Giant. Gonzaga goes down. There will be no undefeated team this year in the NCAA tournament. I guess Indiana, the last one to do it, can pop their champagne. And it's not going to happen, but I didn't think it was going to happen anyways. Like I said, do I think Gonzaga can get to the Final Four this year? Yeah, I do. I think Carnoustie is an absolute beast inside. They've got some tremendous perimeter play, and they are a very well-coached team. Mark Few is a fundamental genius, but they're not winning the NCAA tournament. And that brings me to this point. So a mix-up. What do you think? I mean, Villanova loses to Butler, although Butler's had some pretty quality wins here at the end of the season. Amazing. Butler continues on after Brad Stevens, and it wasn't the system because Brad Stevens is a great coach and doing very good things with the Boston Celtics. But Butler is doing good things in college as well still as, again, they beat Villanova this past week. So I'm guessing Kansas beat TCU and Texas, and I'm guessing they're probably going to leapfrog both those schools and jump up to number one right now with a 26-3 record. Even though Gonzaga has that one loss comes in the West Coast Conference, which nobody really respects. I mean, St. Mary's and obviously Brigham Young are decent D1 teams, but you lose a game in the West Coast Conference, I'm sorry, you got to jump down, especially with the opponents that Kansas plays. The Big 12 is tough as nails, and I'm jumping over top of them. I'm going to leave Villanova at number two. Like I said, Butler's had some good wins. I'm probably going to drop Gonzaga all the way down to number four with that one loss, and I'm going to move up. I got to put up UCLA. UCLA, this ball kid is ridiculous, although his father might be the death of him, and his brother. The guy just doesn't shut up, but you never know what's going to happen there, but this team is great. And how about Bryce Alford? I was going to give him an honorable mention later on, but Bryce Alford, man, is going to leave UCLA if he stays healthy. This is crazy. As the fifth all-time leading scorer, he will be the number one all-time making 3-point shots, and he'll be the number seven in assists if everything pans out. And you got to remember, he started his career as a freshman playing also for his dad at New Mexico. So I didn't think the kid was that good, but when you look at the statistics and you look how well UCLA is playing right now, Alford has this team clicking on all cylinders. I bump them up to number three and move Gonzaga down to number four, and Oregon still nipping right at the tails of UCLA. Arizona's going to drop down below that, although Arizona did beat UCLA earlier in the season. At Pauley, it doesn't matter. It's what's going on right now, and UCLA is looking like they can play with or maybe beat anybody in the country.
Well, that Pac-12 tournament here is going to be
great.
Fantastic. Because you're going to have three top 10 teams, Oregon, Arizona, UCLA. I really like USC, even though they're not at that level. I like watching those guys play. I love Andy Enfield. I love their style. Mm-hmm.
Good point, Mags. You know, I like USC a lot better now that Caitlin Reinhart's off the team and over in, where's he at? Marquette, right?
Marquette, yeah.
Yeah. For three different schools, and that's a prime example when we talk about ball. It's a father. Caitlin Reinhart's dad was in Dave Rice's ear constantly the one year he was here, thinking his son was already ready to be an all-star in the NBA as a freshman.
The second most shots on the team that season, and apparently it wasn't enough for his dad. So, yeah.
And I liked him. I was really sad to see him go, but now seeing where his career has led, every team that he goes to talks about how he is selfish.
Yes.
He is not a team player. He sits by himself in the locker room, and he thinks he's better than everyone else. And you know what, Mags? He is a European basketball player at best.
Yeah,
he's
not even D-League quality.
No.
He's EuroLeague. He'll probably be playing in Turkey or Spain or something like that. Now, he's a good player, don't get me wrong. But his attitude has, I think, hampered any opportunity he would have ever had to play in the NBA. I think scouts can see that. He's not a team player. He's not a guy that you could build around. And like you said, he's a guy who's probably going to end up playing somewhere in Belgium or France, and he'll probably average 8 to 10 points a game, and he'll have a nice career over there. He'll make some pretty decent cash.
He'll get laid. He'll have good women. He'll have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, those guys who play in Europe, they have it almost as good as the guys who play in the NBA, minus the big paychecks. But I don't know. You know, I'm really excited for the Pac-12 because, like I said, it's going to be
T-Mobile Arena this year,
yeah,
Mags.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about it, too. I really like it. I mean, no offense, I loved it when it was at the MGM Grand Garden Arena as well. I just think it's a great thing. I'm so happy the Pac-12 does it here. The West Coast Conference, of course, starts this week Thursday, and Chris Wynn was just saying how cool would that be to see a BYU Gonzaga rematch. Chris, you know, I'm thinking about it, and initially I would say yes. I don't know if Eric Mika can play like that ever again. I mean, I know he's got, I think, 6 double-doubles like that, over 25 points and over 10 rebounds this year, but I really think, believe it or not, I think St. Mary's, even though I know BYU has their number, I think St. Mary's is a better team, and they've proven it because they've beaten BYU both times they played them. So, I don't know. I think I'd rather see St. Mary's Gonzaga, but after watching that game, if they will give us a sequel to that game, I'll take it all day long, and I agree with you 100%. Either way, it'll be kind of cool. And then, of course, next week, the week after this, you got 2 more conference tournaments going on here. You've got the Mountain West and, of course, the Pac-12, which we're talking about, which is just going to be awesome. Oh, you've got the WAC as well. That's right. You got 4 tournaments that go on in Vegas that decide a bunch of NCAA bursts, 4 of them. That's pretty darn cool.
I'd like to see the Big West move theirs here as well.
And they may eventually.
And I think the Big Sky does theirs up in Reno. So, I mean, you've got a lot of
Nevada. Cool. Well, listen, before we take our next break, and I want to make sure we do that, get to Mark Anderson on time, I did want to just say with the NBA, and I kind of mentioned it earlier, you know, the trading deadline came and went. Nothing spectacular. DeMarcus Cousins, the biggest name that went to New Orleans. Other than that, it seems like everyone is sitting back and playing a waiting game, waiting for LeBron James's skills to diminish. Boston could have desperately used Paul George. I hear now that Larry Bird was saying, you know, he was looking for some kind of blockbuster deal. He didn't want to give away his star forward. I don't believe that at all. I believe Danny Ainge sat back and said, look, I know it would be really cool to have Isaiah Thomas and Paul George on the same team as well as Isaiah Thomas is playing. Arguably, I mean, it's going to be hard not to say he's the MVP of the league this year, even though he's playing for the Celtics. He is just spectacular to watch. Every bit as exciting as anybody in the league right now. And if you haven't watched the Celtics play, wow, Brad Stevens has really got a good quality of basketball. Unfortunately, the best they're going to do is second place in the East. He figured we might still be the second best team in the East without Paul George, and Paul George won't be enough to elevate us over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the same exact thing, you know, I thought, you know, looking at the free agents and what was going on, and I thought for sure that Butler, that they were going to look at moving Jimmy Butler to Chicago. Chicago's kind of at a fire sale, but, you know, if Butler goes, so does D. Wade, and Chicago, the same thing. You know, you're trying to market Jimmy Butler. People talked about him going to the Lakers. There's just nobody that wants anybody because nobody is going to compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. I know nothing is etched in stone until it happens, and we don't have a crystal ball to look in the future, but please, people, I get tired of talking about everyone trying to justify how there's a way that somebody can win it in the East and take out Cleveland. Kevin Love is going to be a little bit rusty. And are you kidding me? There's nobody that's going to beat the Cavaliers in the East. And there is absolutely nobody in the West that's going to beat the Golden State Warriors. I know San Antonio and Kawhi Leonard can sometimes be amazing. I know they're a very well-coached team. I'm sorry, don't get your hopes up. I know James Harden lights the world on fire in Houston. Don't get your hopes up. They have no chance. Okay, listen, we're going to take a break. We have the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal who travels and covers UNLV basketball, and we will try to figure out what is going on with the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the future. And I also want to ask him the question because sooner or later, they got to hire an athletic director. That's coming up.
I'm a little perplexed by the puzzle that is the Rebels right now.
That is one of the most apropos press conferences that I've ever attended. I loved it. Joining now, Mark Anderson, beat writer and sports columnist at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Mark, prior to the game, I was sitting with Bernie Fratto at the Thomas & Mack. I predicted the team up north would win the game by 27. If you would have told me I'd be wrong, if I'm being honest, I would have thought that meant the game would be closer. Mark, did you expect what you saw?
No, I thought I didn't expect a really close game, but I thought it'd be at least closer than it was in Reno. The fact that it was an even more of a blowout really surprised me, especially the way UNLV started the game. They were up, 12-11 early and actually playing pretty well at that point. And then just once it started to get away from them, they just lost all hope. You could just see it. They just lost all hope. And it just became to, you know, snowball from there.
Yeah, it's getting to be the same story, just turning the page every day. We talked about this before on Rebel Extra, so I won't ask you who you think will stay and will go. What I will ask you is to give me a over-under on the number of players, not including the seniors, except Terrell Green, who I believe still has another year of eligibility.
No, he's done.
Sir. He is done for sure? Okay.
Yeah. If you'd asked me this before yesterday's game, I probably would have said three. I think it's probably still three. I could see that maybe going to four. And depending on how recruiting goes, I mean, that's part of it too. I mean, if you're going to get rid of players, you got to replace them. But the problem that this coaching staff's run into is not only were they late for the 2016 class, but, they're behind in the 2017 too, because, you know, relationships are established years in advance. And so they were recruiting quite a different, Menzies was recruiting quite a different player at New Mexico State than he's recruiting now. And so those are more the players he's going to be looking for in 2018, 2019, 2020. So it's easy to say we'll get rid of half the team, but he may not be able to replace half the team with better players. So he may have to be in a position where he can replace maybe three more guys beyond the three seniors, and kind of stop there, depending, because you don't want to bring players in like he had to do last year.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, also, you pointed this out a few times. He actually only has one available scholarship right now, so it's kind of hard to recruit when really you only can flash one scholarship, even though you know he'll free up a couple of more.
Yeah, but he can have players. He can have conversations with recruits too, and tell them, "Hey, you know, it's just one now, but don't worry, there'll be more there."
Yeah,
and I think recruits know that, understand that situation too. I mean, if he's got his scholarships, but Brandon McCoy, the number six player in the country, says he wants to come here, well, he's going to find a way to get Brandon McCoy in his roster. So that, they'll be able to make it happen.
They'll work with it. He's Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review Journal beat writer and sports columnist. You can follow Mark on Twitter at MarkAnderson65. Mark, the UNLV brand took a huge hit last January when Dave Rice was fired three games into the Mountain West season. I will never say that it wasn't time for UNLV and Dave Rice to part ways, but I will also never say that I agree with when or how it was done. And no question, the residual effect is what we are and have been seeing on the basketball court this year.
No, and I agree with both your points. I mean, it was really the timing. You know, there's a reason why firings don't take place at that point in the season. You know, you're seeing now why that just doesn't happen. And it's not to say, like you said, it's not to say he shouldn't have been gone by the end of the season. I mean, the agreement was he would coach to the end of the season. Then if they didn't make the NCAA tournament, then he knew that would mean that that'd be his job. But to do it in January was just, it tore apart the roster that they had. So the chances of keeping some of the better players, you know, they could have maybe kept some of the better players during the transition if they hadn't done that. And then it just turns off recruits, and it turned off some of the coaching candidates, because he probably looked at UNLV and said, well, if it could happen to Dave, it could happen to me. So it was a really bad decision or a really bad timing. And I don't know how much better it would have been if they'd waited, but there's no way it could have been worse.
I can't disagree with that. And I know you've been following the hiring process of the eventual new athletic director. Tina Kunzer-Murphy officially relinquishes the position at the end of June. And I've read the articles. I've been following a little bit myself. How long do you think they will actually wait to make the decision? I know they're keeping the job posting up till the middle of March, but how long do you think before they actually make the decision?
Yeah, I think the either state law or university rules. I'm not sure which they have to post it for 30 days. So, you would think that after March 15th they move pretty fast because they have they have Todd Turner who's running the search firm. You would think it wouldn't take him long to present his recommendations. It shouldn't take the committee too long to come up with finalists. If they had a real sense of urgency, I don't know why you couldn't have someone in place by the middle of April. But, when I talk to the search committee chairwoman, they're talking into May, which to me seems like it's dragging it out a little bit. And I do kind of wonder if the fact that the Arizona president's job is open has something to do with it, that maybe Jessup wants to see how that plays out, because certainly candidates for the AD job are concerned that he may leave. And rightfully concerned. So he may want to see on it, so he can truthfully answer candidates about where he stands with the Arizona job before he can hire an AD. And that's just more speculation than anything, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised that's playing into it.
Yeah, very, very good point. And, it was weird when I read the article and her answer to you was, we plan to have someone in place by the time Tina Kunzer-Murphy leaves June 30th. That didn't give anyone a lot to go on. So, yeah. Listen, you can check out Mark Anderson pretty much daily in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And, again, you can follow Mark on Twitter, at MarkAnderson65. Mark, as always, thanks for tipping off your Sunday morning with us. I know it's early, so I appreciate it.
I was up anyway. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Absolutely. Mark Anderson, again, we appreciate it. And Mags, we're just going to keep rolling. Let's roll. What do we got going? This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. It is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. They have two happy hours every day. They have screens all over the place. There is no place better for watching sports than Buffalo Wild Wings, America's home for wings, beer, and sports. And again, that is at the 215 and North Durango. Mags, I'm going to go right into it. There is a young lady who... if you don't think she's blazing, then you don't know what you're talking about.
Everyone was trying to feed me the ball, and coach was calling stuff for me, and I had Chantel in my ear. There was like four more, three more. When it started to keep going, I was like, okay, might as well get it out of the way so we can, move on with life.
Yeah, that's if you didn't recognize the voice, I didn't even know of her until recently. That is Kelsey Plum, who went into yesterday's game needing 54 points to break Jackie Stiles' all-time NCAA scoring record. She did that against Utah as they pounded Utah. She scored 57 points. She had 22 points in the first half, 38 points through three quarters. It is the most points ever scored in a Pac-12 women's game, the fifth most of any women's game in D1 history. She is the all-time points leader for women's basketball, 3,397 career points. The only person in D1 basketball that has ever scored more than her was Pistol Pete Maravich. She's number two all-time behind him. That was her sixth time in her career scoring 40 or more points in a game. I got to give it to her, Kelsey Plum. And Mags, I'm going for two people today because I can't leave out this guy right here.
I think we just play hard and we stuck together. We were in that spot at home. They had us down by 18 points, I think. And it was the same kind of thing. We didn't go through the motions. We didn't give up, but we kept fighting. And we stuck together. We weren't pointing fingers. We knew that the shots we were taking, we were gonna make them. We just had to amp it up on both sides of the court. And, that's what it did. It paid off.
I'd say it paid off. 29 points, 11 rebounds, his fifth double-double of the season, fifth time he scored over 25 points and had 10 rebounds. Eric Mika from BYU comes back from a mission as a sophomore and slays the Giant and takes down Gonzaga, giving them their first loss in the final game of the season up in Spokane, Senior Day. It is a third straight time BYU has gone into Spokane and beaten the Gonzaga Bulldogs. Pretty wild. You got to take your hats off to Eric Meakin. He and Kelsey Plum blazing on Out of Line. What you got for me, Mags?
Well, you know I love my college basketball, and I'm going to go to a school that nobody really ever talks about. But how about this? You go back to 2011, 2012, 24 wins. Next year, 21 wins. Year after that, 22 wins. 24, 2015, 20 wins. Last season, 23 wins. Right now, 26-5. Longest winning streak in the country. University of Vermont Catamounts. John Becker has that team rolling. They're 16-0 in the America East Conference. They got one game left against Maine. They should roll. I hate the fact that they're not guaranteed an auto bid unless they win their conference. It is a shame they have a four-game lead right now in the America East over Stony Brook. They just demolished the Seawolves of Stony Brook. I love my college basketball. I love my small schools. I love University of Vermont. They are, without a doubt, one of the best small schools year in, year out. They just seem to win 20 games every single year. It goes back to the old coach there before, John Becker. And they've just built a fantastic program. They're not going to win the NCAA tournament. They may not even win a game. But another 21 season this year, maybe their best ever, 26-5, the Catamounts of the University of Vermont. I don't even know what the hell that is.
I was going to give you some great props for due diligence, but it's way up there on the far northern East Coast, and you know everything that's going on the East Coast, so that's your thing. You love it, you follow it, and I'm not surprised you found a little tiny crap hole of a school that's won 25 games.
26-5.
26-5. God bless them. Hey, Blazin' brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Plaza. Two happy hours daily. Big screens everywhere. No place better to watch football, baseball, basketball, hockey. I don't care. It is America's place for wings, beer, and sports. And again, that is Buffalo Wild Wings at the 215 in the Montecito Plaza, crossing plaza up by Centennial Hills Hospital. And Mags. Fact this. Last season, UNLV fired head coach Dave Rice 3 games into the Mountain West Conference schedule. That is a fact. This is what has happened because of that move. UNLV basketball has sunken to an all-time low, breaking records of futility. Most consecutive losses, 9 and counting. Most losses in a season, 19 and counting. Most players to exit a university that did not discontinue their program, nor was put on probation. And let me make this clear. It is not Marvin Menzies' fault. He is a victim of circumstance, and based on the current state of affairs, he might only get 1 season. Because, and I don't mean this season, I mean next season. I don't know that he'll get a second-year pass. Everyone is going to, too much has happened where if things don't turn around next year, he very well could be kicked to the curb, and I think that would be very unfortunate and unfair. I do want to state that because it is not his fault that, you know what's his fault? His only fault? Taking the job. That's it. That's the only thing Marvin Menzies should be blamed for is taking the job. And can you really blame a guy for going from New Mexico State University to UNLV? Absolutely not. Mags, I want to talk about this. That was fact this, by the way. One of these days we'll have a sponsor for that segment. I just got to get off my ass and go make it happen. Mags, let me tell you something. I want to ask you first about your podcast, but don't take too long because you got to tell me about this Leicester City soccer team. And the fact, what I don't understand is that they won the Premier League last year and they're going to get booted out this year. I don't get it. But tell me about your podcast first.
Well, the podcast, we just put it up on the LVSportsNetwork.com page. It's myself and a guy, Johnny O. He is from the mean streets of Edinburgh, Scotland. They're not really that mean, actually. He kind of joked. He's like, you've never been there if you think that. But I did see train spotting. It looked pretty rough. But it's very English Premier League heavy. We did discuss a little Champions League. For those who follow the sport, they know what we're talking about. In the coming weeks, we'll be talking about the International World Cup qualifiers that are coming up very soon. And the U.S. could be in a little bit of trouble. But we also discussed Leicester City, and they recently fired their coach. And the way it works in the world of soccer, basically, they don't have a playoff system. They play 38 games in England, in this particular league, the English Premier League, which is probably the best league in the world. It's a 38-game season. The team with the most points after 38 games, they are the champions. They won the league by 10 points last season. And, you know, the way it's going now.
5,000 to 1?
5,000 to 1.
How can you? Shouldn't there be a bonus? You are a 5,000 to 1 underdog. You win the league. You should be exempt for at least 1 year. At least 1 year exemption.
I like the idea of,
you win
the
Masters, you're exempt for almost life, Max.
I like the idea of put up or shut up. And, you know, right. If the season was to end today,
they'd
Leicester would be relegated. They have a game tomorrow against Liverpool. They're probably not going to win that one. But they are in big, big trouble.
That's crazy. Listen, this is Out of Line. I want to thank Mark Anderson, beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. As always, thank my all-star producer, Magnum. I'm Brian Feldman. This is Out of Line. We're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m., Fox Sports, 1340. Listen, if you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like it, tell them anyways. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for your understanding, and I want to thank the crowd tonight, the people of Las Vegas who were here and